Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
You see, as Christians, we need to realize that the enemy cannot be withstood by human reason, tradition, personal charisma, or any other natural kind of means. The enemy is only going to be pushed back or subdued through the truth of God's Word.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 13 through 17, in a message titled, The Armor of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Now, when we talk about the armor of God, Paul uses this picture. He paints for us a mental picture. And each of these things, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, of course, they're symbols of spiritual things. And so there's a spiritual truth behind the symbol. And as we look at each one of these things, as you look at everything that's mentioned here, what you discover is that the armor of God is really the application of the eternal truths of Scripture. That's really what the armor of God is. It's the application of the eternal truths of Scripture. And so to put on the armor is to apply those truths to our lives. That's what it means. So everything that we're going to talk about both today and next week really revolves around the Word of God, and beginning with what Paul speaks of here as having girded your waist with truth, or of course he's talking about a belt, the belt of truth. Now, in the situation with the Roman soldier, the belt was the foundational piece of the armor in the sense that all of the other pieces of the armor attached to the belt. And so you had to have this. This was essential to the equipment that you were given. And so Paul says, gird your waist. Just like the Roman soldier had to have this belt on, Paul says, you gird your waist with the truth. Our lives are to be undergirded by the truth of God's Word. And as I look at this here, I think a good way to understand what Paul is referring to here would be that in the bigger picture of life, or what we commonly refer to today as a worldview, our worldview is firmly fixed in Scripture. So we see the world through the lens of Scripture. As a believer in Christ, our worldview is to be a biblical worldview. And that's what Paul is calling for here. That our lives be so saturated in the truth that everything we look at, everything that we contemplate, it all goes through the filter of God's Word. And that's what he's talking about here, I think, primarily. And on a practical level, although we'll talk about this more in the next study, on a practical level, I think this is where we need to get the big picture of Scripture, the major themes of Scripture, where we understand, like, for example, the origins, our origins. So a lot of the ways people view life has to do with how they view origins. How did we originate? Where did we come from? If you have a biblical view that you came from God, that you're created in the image of God, that you're therefore accountable to God, then you're going to behave radically differently than the person who says, no, there is no God, there is no creation. I just came about through natural processes. That's going to translate into a completely different way of living. So this is where we get the big picture of God's truth, that we are created beings, that we are subject to God, the nature of God, that the God who created us is a God of love. He's also a God of righteousness, and so he calls us to live according to a certain standard. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of power, all of those kinds of things. And those are the big themes that we get when we study the Bible in just the larger sense, you know, the Genesis to Revelation type of a perspective. And so it's important that we immerse ourselves in God's truth from cover to cover. And that's the idea when Paul speaks of putting on the belt of truth. You see, as Christians, we need to realize that the enemy cannot be withstood by human reason, tradition, personal charisma, or any other natural kind of means. The enemy is only going to be pushed back or subdued through the truth of God's word. So we've got to be immersed in God's word. We've got to be living in it. We've got to be walking in it and applying it to our lives and the things that we daily encounter. So that's the first, I think, understanding of what he's talking about here, girding your waist with the truth. But then I think there's also another part to it, and that would be truthfulness or integrity. Of course, if you're a person who's really interested in truth, then it would seem to follow from that that you would be concerned to be truthful, to be a person who has a high priority of truth, but yet doesn't themselves live according to the truth or speak the truth. That would be rather inconsistent. So we're going to be truthful. We're going to be people of integrity. We're going to be people who can be trusted. And again, living according to the truth, applying the truth, being people who have a high priority on truth and integrity, these are the kinds of things that beat back, in a sense, the devil's advances. And so, the belt of truth. And then secondly, Paul here speaks of the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate, as you can understand, as you think about it, covers the vital organs, would cover the area of the chest and the abdomen. Of course, we have our heart, our lungs, our liver, our pancreas. All of those things are right in that region. And in the biblical world, and so with us today as well, we understand this area to be sort of the seat of our emotions. Right? We say things like, I love that with all my heart. So we're expressing, you know, some emotional kind of a thing that we're seeing as originating in our heart. The term compassion, the idea behind it in the ancient world was the old translation, the King James Version, oftentimes translates compassion as bowels of mercy. Now, when you think of bowels, you normally don't think of mercy simultaneously, right? But they translated it that way because of the way you feel. Compassion is something that you feel, right? You see somebody and there's something internal. There's a feeling. There's an emotion that transpires there. It says concerning Jesus that he looked at the people, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And it says there he was doubled over with compassion. So the idea there is that, you know, these bowels of mercy. So anyway, since that's the area where that was considered to originate from, the breastplate then protects us in the realm of our emotions, in the realm of our feelings. And it's the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when we talk about righteousness in the Bible, we're talking about right living, but we're also talking about what's called the imputed righteousness. And that's what we have as a gift from God, from Christ, that puts us in the position of being righteous. So when we think of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, we need to think of walking in that imputed righteousness of Christ. I realize that my righteousness does not come from me, but it comes from the Lord. It's his gift to me through faith. But because I've experienced that gift of his righteousness, that will translate into right living. If there's never a translation from imputed righteousness to practical righteousness, then you have to wonder, is there really imputed righteousness? If there's imputed righteousness, there is ultimately going to be practical righteousness as well. And so as we, at times, that Satan will attack us, as we've already looked at in quite a bit of detail, he'll attack us in our emotions. There are times when, from the standpoint of feelings, we don't feel saved. We don't feel righteous. So it's at those times I need to remember, no, I've got a breastplate of righteousness. I have a righteousness that is there regardless of how I feel. And then, of course, on the practical level, there are times when we don't feel like doing what is right. And it's there again that we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we let that imputed righteousness, we let it translate into the practical righteousness, the holy living. And so the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another translation reads, for shoes put on a readiness to preach the gospel of peace. Now, with, again, the Roman soldier, each one of these things that Paul mentions here, those who read this letter originally, the Ephesians, the picture would have been crystal clear in their minds. Everybody knew how a Roman soldier was attired in those days. And they had a specific kind of a boot that was like an open-toed sandal type of a thing, but it was more like a boot, and it had a studded sole, and the purpose in the studded sole was to give the person a firm grounding. So the soldier couldn't easily be pushed back. There was no slippage that was going to take place. You know, if you've ever tried to do something and your feet have slipped out from under you, you know that that's a huge problem. And especially if you're in some kind of a conflict, you want to be able to stand firmly without being moved in that kind of a way. So that's what the boots or the shoes would have done for the soldier. So for us, the idea, I think, is that we're grounded in the gospel, and we're going forth with that gospel. We're not being pushed back or moved, but we're actually advancing. We're gaining ground. There's no slippage, so to speak, that's taking place. You know, if you think about it, if every one of us got up every day and put on the boots of the gospel, if every one of us every day just had that mindset that I'm going out into the battlefield, I'm going out as a soldier, I'm going out on a rescue mission, I'm going out to see people brought out of darkness into light, I'm going out to be used by God to see people delivered from the power of Satan and brought under the authority and the power of God, that's a powerful thing to understand as you go forth in your daily life. Are we thinking like that? Do we think like that? We need to think like that, because that's part of what God's called us to do in this world. He's called us to reach people with the gospel. And I think just on a practical level, if we go forth with a readiness in our minds to minister the gospel to people, I think that will naturally have a protective aspect to it for us, because I'm going to be making sure that I'm not engaging in things that are going to hinder that from happening or hinder me from being able to really do what I need to do when the opportunity arises. I'm not going to be doing things that are going to cause my feet to slip, so to speak, when that opportunity is right there before me. No, my feet are firmly fixed in the gospel. So it's a readiness that Paul's speaking of, a preparedness to go forth with the gospel. And then fourthly, he says, and taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the reality is we will never be out of range of Satan's fiery darts. But by taking up the shield of faith, we can quench those fiery darts. Faith is a huge component in our Christian lives and in our progress as believers and in our advancement in serving God. We have to have faith. So to take up the shield of faith is really an active trust in the Word of God, in the promises of God. God gives us His Word. He gives us promises. He speaks to our lives. He gives us direction. You know that. Now, the important thing is to believe it and to keep believing it. What the devil wants to do is he wants to rob us of those things. He wants to get us to stop believing, stop trusting, stop having faith in God's word, in the promises that God has given through his word. So we've got to take that shield of faith. And when the enemy comes in with suggestions that, you know, this isn't true, or God is not faithful, or those promises really don't apply to you, it's by faith that you say, no, I believe what God has said. And that's where you have to really take the shield of faith. That's where you have to say, okay, regardless of how I feel or don't feel at the moment, I still believe God. I still believe that God spoke this word to me, and I'm going to stand on it. That's what it is to have faith, is to keep trusting in the word of God. It's to keep trusting in the promises of God. And we're going to do that our entire lives. Because you know what? As a Christian, God calls you to live by faith. Now, in the context of warfare, like we're talking about, the devil knows that. So guess what? He's going to try to get to prevent you from going on in faith. He's going to try to persuade you not to trust God about these things, maybe promises from the past, or, you know, things yet that he's pointing you toward in the future. He's going to come along and tell you about all the reasons why that can't happen and how impossible that is and how ridiculous that you would think that something like that could ever be a reality. And by faith, you have to just keep moving ahead. So the shield of faith, a huge factor in our victory over the enemy. And then we come to the fifth piece of the armor, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Now, as I've stated before, the primary battle is in the mind. Now, of course, there are other ways that Satan attacks us as well. But the mind is the main target. So the helmet is clearly protects our head, but more than our head, it protects our minds, because that's where the enemy is constantly shooting at us. He's wanting us to doubt our salvation. He's wanting us to doubt God's faithfulness and those kinds of things. So it's our minds that need to be guarded and protected. And this is, again, where God's word is it's the helmet for us of salvation. It's the knowledge of salvation. It's the mental assurance of our salvation, remembering that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Remembering it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his mercy that he saved us. And these are the things that we have to continually do, because it's a continual battle. But there's another application to this as well. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul refers to the helmet of the hope of salvation. So he words it a little differently. The helmet of the hope of salvation. And I think in this application here, when we're discouraged and we feel like we can't go on, it's the hope of salvation, or it's the in our minds remembering that we are going to be victorious ultimately, that Christ is the victor, that he has already defeated the enemy, that God's kingdom is here and it's coming and it will be completely realized one day, and we're going to be part of it. So it's that hope of salvation that keeps us going, that says, you know, no, I'm not going to give up. I've come this far. And it's that hope, that the helmet of the hope of salvation, that there is the reward, there is the glory. You know, some people they grow tired in their faith. What's the use? Well, the Bible tells us not to be weary in doing good, because you're going to reap. There's a reaping time that's going to come. There's a blessing time that's going to come. And of course, when we cross that finish line and enter into eternity, that's the ultimate manifestation of that. But sometimes we've got to keep that at the very forefront of our mind. That is putting on the helmet of the hope of salvation. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't slack off. Keep going. Keep pressing forward. And so these things here, as I initially said, notice that every one of them are predominantly a defensive kind of a part of the armor. They're for our protection and to keep the enemy from pushing us back. They're, as we take and we apply God's word in these ways, we maintain our ground. And that's what Paul said that we are to do. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and that you may be able to continue to stand. So it's as we have these different pieces of the armor that he mentions here, as we have these on, they will enable us to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. And when the enemy's thrust is over, we'll still be standing. But I can't do that. You can't do that apart from the influence of God's word in your life. We cannot underestimate the importance of God's word in people's life. And you know what? I'll tell you how important the word of God is. It's so important that the devil does everything in his power to try to keep it from going out. He does everything in his power to try to keep it from being faithfully taught. The important thing in all of this, as we're talking about putting on the armor of God, is to realize how vital a place God's word plays in all of this. Get yourself saturated in God's word. That's how you have victory over sin. That's how you have victory over Satan. That's how you not just experience personal victory, but that's how you move forward and become somebody who has an impact on the lives of others. So, put on the whole armor of God translates into soak yourself in God's word. Not just get it in your brain. Of course, it's got to go through your brain. We're not talking about just memorizing 25 Bible verses, just so for the sake of knowing them, but get it into your heart. Get it into your life. Get it into your bloodstream. Get God's word into you so thoroughly that you see the world through God's word. And that's how we will beat the devil. And that's what we want to do. So, God help us.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Optimisfits by Ben Corson. Depression, it's plaguing this current generation more than any other. Are you a millennial that experiences depression? Do you know a millennial that struggles with depression? Well, in his book Optimisfits, Ben Corson tackles hopelessness and depression head on by utilizing God's word to bring authentic hope and a fresh perspective for life. If you want to experience authentic hope, this book will give you a roadmap for a better way to live. So we encourage you to call us right now, at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk to order Optimist Fits, Igniting a Fierce Rebellion Against Hopelessness by Ben Corson. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.